see everyone tonight. I appreciate very much Ed speaking for me this morning, especially on very short notice. I have had a bad case of the flu. You're not supposed to see that yet. Don't look at that. I don't want you knowing what that slide was. I've had a bad case of the flu the last several days. It was actually supposed to be in Thomasville, Georgia on a gospel meeting, and we've had to postpone that meeting. But so I, just in case I get in trouble, got a little water here. But appreciate y'all bearing with me here. I feel fine physically now, but just my voice is still a little bit weak. The verses that Kyle read to us just a few minutes ago from John 18 pose that classic question that Pilate asked as he is conversing with Jesus. Jesus had made the statement that he was indeed a king, not of this world, but nevertheless a king. He said, "For this I have been born and come into the world, that I might bear witness concerning the truth." And Pilate's ears apparently kind of perked up at that term truth, and Jesus saying he came to bear witness to the truth. And so he asked that famous question, "What is truth?" And I wish I knew the tone that Pilate used when he uttered that question. I don't know exactly how he meant it. I don't know if he was sincerely asking that in some kind of a straightforward way. I tend to doubt that. My tendency is to think he was being somewhat sarcastic as he was asking that. You know, what is truth? And that's usually the way people take that, and I think that probably is the case. I think Pilate was probably thinking that here you, as a Jew, are trying to tell me, as a Roman, what this absolute truth is, and frankly, we Romans, we have a different concept of truth than you do, and what is truth? And all of that is something that clearly relates to our current world, and indeed the kind of world that we live in today. Because we have a world that is commonly referred to as a postmodern world. And I don't know if you are familiar with that term or not. I think you need to be, because this is the way in which our current world is so often described. I asked, Kyle came up to me and asked what scripture I might want read for the sermon. And I said, well, just pick out some passage in scripture that deals with postmodernism. And there aren't too many that use that particular term. I don't think there are any. But the concept, and really the refutation of it, is all through the Bible. And so I want to talk with you a little bit this evening about this concept that really is out there in our current world, and in fact, it's what drives our current world. Whether you're talking about academics, whether you're talking about literature, whether you're talking about politics, whether you're talking about religion, whether you're talking about any kind of the social sciences or worldviews or whatever, we live in a postmodern world, and in order to understand what that concept is and to address that in a good way, you really have to understand what it's reacting to. If you think about that term, postmodernism, the terminology itself would suggest to you it is a concept that is reacting to modernism, coming after modernism and reacting to it. And that's exactly right. So I want to talk with you just for a second about modernism. When we think about the modern world, you know, modern scientific world, that really is something that all started in the, you might think of the late 16th or probably better the early 17th century, where you've got people like Galileo who begin to not just come out of the Renaissance and this Age of Enlightenment, but to just spearhead all of that and coming out of the Middle Ages, where ignorance about the world was just par for the course. Instead, now you've got people who are wanting to investigate and discover and find out what the truth is. And just imagine Galileo as he makes that simple kind of telescope, begins to just look through those lenses into the night sky and begin to discover things that really showed that how people had thought about this world and about not just our Earth, but then the celestial bodies and just the concept of existence. People were mistaken about so many of those things. And so you've got people like Galileo who are part of this modern world, this modernistic movement that is all based upon the idea that we now have the capacity as human beings to investigate and discover what the truth is. What the truth is about so many things. And so what you have then is this concept of modernism that says that there really is objective reality out there. In fact, the whole point of Galileo's work in the minds of many was that he disproved this idea that the earth is at the center of the cosmos and the sun and heavenly bodies revolve around it. Instead, ultimately what he demonstrated was that Copernicus's view was right and the sun is at the center of this solar system and the earth and the other planets revolve around that. And so he was discovering what the truth was about that. And modernism was all about truth. It was about discovering truth in the scientific realm. And the whole concept of if we can just get enough data here, well, we can use our minds to reason and we can determine what the truth is. And so this idea of objective truth is something that was all part of that modernist movement in the 17th century, 18th century, 19th century. And you've got the rise in science and technology. And this whole concept of objective truth, it begins to be viewed as something which can help us understand not just about science, but about other things in life, about the world and about people and about religion and what the truth is about religion. And so a lot of people began to apply those kind of modernistic principles and said, well, you know what? If we can just look at the Bible, and the Bible was viewed by so many as the objective standard. Here's what the truth is. Here's God's word. And so people said, well, we've got all these various religious groups here, and everybody is teaching different things, and so many have reacted in the Reformation against Roman Catholicism, and yet now we've got all these other religious groups, and they're all different. And so if what we can do is just look at the Bible, and we can look at all the things in the Bible and look at it and reason with our minds, we can find out what the truth is and correct everything. And so that kind of modernistic philosophy was applied, of course, by a lot of people, and I think for good reason, trying to go back to the Bible. And let's make sure that what we're believing and practicing really is in accordance with the Bible. A lot of good things about all of that. But that's sort of this idea of modernism. The truth is absolute. There's an objective reality, and we can discover that. Okay, well, in the 20th century, something happened. What you had rise was this idea of postmodernism. And basically, the postmodern philosophy was saying this. Okay, you've got to recognize that the search for objective truth, it isn't just a matter of Galileo looking through his telescope, and now we've got what the truth is. And so, you know, what you also have to think about is the fact that Galileo himself is having to use his eyes, which might be faulty from age, as he observes those celestial bodies. And he's having to draw deductions using his mind, which might be flawed in various ways, or think illogically in certain ways, as he collects that data and reasons. And this idea of postmodernism started to emphasize the fact that when we think about truth, it's not just a matter of objective truth. You've got people like us as human beings who are trying to perceive truth. And we all have our own prejudices. We have our own backgrounds. We have our own minds that have been framed by people who have trained us and raised us. And sometimes our thinking may be different from somebody else as he tries to find objective truth, and yet he perceives it differently than somebody else does. And so postmodernism started emphasizing the idea it's not just looking at truth, it's looking at we as human beings and our perception of it. And the fact of the matter is that different people perceive things differently. You ever had some discussion with somebody about whether or not you like tomatoes? I don't like tomatoes. I love things that are produced from tomatoes. I like spaghetti sauce. I like ravioli and lasagna and all that kind of stuff. I don't like eating tomatoes. I don't understand why people like tomatoes. But a lot of people love tomatoes. All of that is subjective perception. People are different, and people can look at the same things or taste the same things or touch the same things and perceive them differently. And that's what postmodernism emphasized, and it applied that to the concept of truth. The world in which we live, folks, is a postmodern world that says truth is subjective. Because the fact of the matter is, it is said, that really when we talk about truth, all we're really talking about is what this person or maybe a group of people have construed truth to be. And so when we're talking about religion, say, religion and worldviews, all right, those are a social construct that those people who believe that and follow that kind of worldview and adopt that kind of worldview, have been brought up in that kind of worldview, well, that's truth for them. But then you got somebody else, and he was brought up with a different worldview, and he perceives the world differently, and he has a different concept of what the truth is. And the postmodern world says, well, then that's true for him and that group. And some other group has their truth, and another group has their truth. And it's all a matter of the fact that we perceive things differently, and the postmodern emphasis was that all of that is fine and good. In fact, there's something wrong with trying to talk about truth as if it's objective and, dare say, trying to impose your concept of truth upon somebody else who doesn't want that concept of truth. The postmodern world says that's absolutely anathema, because postmodernism says there is no absolute truth. Truth is relative. It's all based upon our own subjective taste. That's all it is. So it's kind of like when you go to Baskin-Robbins and you kind of just look at the various flavors there and what do you like? Or you go to Starbucks and I like white chocolate mocha and, well, you like something else. And so, well, this is what I like. That's what you like. And postmodernism says that's the way it is about everything. That's the way everything is. There is no objective, absolute truth. And the postmodernists, and this all started really in the world of literature especially and in some peripheral areas, but that concept began to permeate into more and more disciplines and more fields of thought. And we live in a world that when it comes to religion, we're a postmodern world. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people like that. Because it really just fits in with the concept that a lot of people want to have in our day about, say, how you view the Bible. Well, the Bible is not objective truth. Postmodernists would say we don't look at the Bible as objective truth like they used to look at it. No, this is truth for whatever group of people that want to believe the Bible, and there's another truth for some other group who has their own belief. And so what we need to understand is nobody has a right to impose their truth upon somebody else, because that acts as if truth is absolute, which it isn't, according to the postmodernist. And that view just that just resonates with a lot of people, especially people who maybe have grown up in families where parents said, well, you got to go to church. Well, the kid didn't want to go to church. You know, preachers like Brother Pickup were boring. I mean, my goodness, I don't want to go to church. And so a lot of people grow up in that, and they react to all that. And who wants to have somebody else impose their concept of truth on them? And so our postmodern world says, well, then don't accept what they impose on you. Don't let them impose anything on you. You just have your own belief and your own system of thought. And you follow whatever you want to follow. And our world just eats that up. And so that's also what happens when it comes to the Bible. A lot of different interpretations of the Bible, a lot of different interpretations of the same passages of the Bible. And so postmodernism says there is no reason for people to try to think that there's one objective meaning of the Bible. It's whatever you say it is. It's however you read it. And that's how the postmodern world thinks, and that resonates real well with a lot of folks. Because frankly, there's a lot of folks in our world, they don't want somebody to say to them, you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Or you have to believe and follow this teaching in order to be right with God. They don't want that. They want to cater their faith system around their personal taste so that they can have a religion that makes them feel good. And so postmodernism, it just plays right into all of that. It resonates with those kind of people and with that kind of thought. So this is the world in which we live. We live in a postmodern world. And that's the reason why when you and I try to talk with people, even as Ed talked about in the fine points he made in his lesson about spreading the good news of the gospel, everything about the gospel says the truth is absolute. And our world says, no, it's not. And so you're trying to spread that good news to people who and trying to get them to see that there's sin in their life and they're not right with the one true God and Jesus is the King ruling even now and we need to accept Him. And there are people who look at that and that's not their worldview. And in their mind, that's your worldview. It's not mine. So you think I have some kind of problem, but that's only if I had your worldview. I don't share that kind of worldview, so I'm fine. I don't need the gospel. And so this is what makes that hard to evangelize in our day. 100 years ago, 150 years ago in this country, you would have people in different denominations of, quote, Christendom, so to speak, who would absolutely want to have debates, and people would attend debates by the thousands at times, over weeks, having debates about what one needed to do to be saved and what the Bible was teaching about whether or not one had to have the Holy Spirit miraculously just convert them or whether one could voluntarily choose to believe the gospel or do you have to obey God in baptism to be saved or does God's grace saving us mean that we do nothing? And people would debate all of that. Why did people 150 years ago want to have debates like that? Because they were viewing truth as absolute, as an objective reality, and they wanted to find out what the one answer was that Scripture was teaching. In our day, can you imagine trying to get people to come to a debate on what the Bible teaches about whether baptism is necessary to be saved? They don't care. In fact, even people who may differ with you and me and how we're reading the Bible in that regard, on the baptism question, even they wouldn't have any desire at all to attend some kind of debate and discussion about that because they're living in a postmodern world and that may be your truth for you Church of Christ people, but you know, we're Baptists and we have our tradition and that, and so that's kind of the way people view it. And so this idea of postmodernism and truth being subjective, it just plays real well in the thinking of so many people in our day. And we need to understand how this kind of philosophy affects us. Well, so what do you think about this? And you may be thinking, well, Marty, I'd like you to tell me what you think about postmodernism. Well, would it surprise you if I said, before I give a real critique of it and the serious problems that I see with it, would it surprise you if I said, I think there are some good things that have occurred as a result of postmodernism? I really do. I think it has been good that postmodern thought in the 20th century, especially the latter half of the 20th century, it has been good that postmodernists have got people to maybe think a little more than they used to think about the fact that it isn't just a matter of what's the objective truth. You also have to think about yourself as a perceiver of that truth. And sometimes we don't tend to think about ourselves as perceivers of truth, and maybe sometimes what seems to be a natural reading of the text for us, well, that may be because we've been shaped in our thinking by our own tradition. I think postmodernism has helped us kind of be a little more self-aware and examine our own prejudices, our own biases. Maybe sometimes we don't realize that we have been blinded. We have certain lenses that we are wearing, and as we read Scripture, we're kind of reading Scripture through those lenses. And we perceive what Scripture is saying and interpret it sometimes because, well, that's the lenses through which we are looking. We've inherited those, and postmodernism has kind of helped people be aware of that a little bit more. You know, when you are wearing glasses, unless you look in the mirror, you kind of forget that you have glasses, right? Unless they pinch your nose a little too much, then you remember. But if that doesn't happen and you don't pass by a mirror, you forget that you have lenses there. And that's kind of what happens with us sometimes. We don't realize that we all of us, have our own backgrounds and traditions and prejudices sometimes. And so we look at a passage, seems clear to me, but it may be because those are the lenses that you are using. It may be a correct interpretation that you have, but still, the reason why it's so easy for you to see that is because of the lenses that you are wearing and your background and what you're bringing to the text. I think postmodernism has helped us be a little more aware of that kind of thing in all disciplines, not just in the study of the Bible, but in all disciplines, the idiosyncrasies and variables of the perceiver of what's being observed, that needs to be taken into account. But nevertheless, despite that kind of positive benefit, I could talk a lot more about it, but I won't right now. Overall, this postmodernistic way of thinking about truth is something that we need to really critique, and I mean critique severely. There's some real problems with this idea and this worldview that is so dominant in our day and time. I think one thing that can be said just immediately, it's inherently a self-contradictory position. And a lot of people make this point. I don't want to dwell on it, but I don't think it's the main problem with postmodernism, but it is something that needs to be said. The idea that there are no absolutes is itself an absolute statement. There is no objective reality. Everything is subjective. Well, that itself is an absolute statement. And yet, this is a philosophy that says there are no absolutes. It's all relative. So it is inherently a self-contradictory philosophy. But I want to really focus on what I think is the real problem of all this. It doesn't work in everyday life. It doesn't work. Oh, it's true, as I said a moment ago, that being aware that we as perceivers, we have our own prejudices and biases and we're affected by various things, that's good and helpful. But to hold to a philosophy that says there is no absolute truth, that all truth is subjective and relative, that just doesn't work in everyday life. It doesn't work. Because the fact of the matter is, that may be the case when you're talking about going to Starbucks and what's your favorite flavor of coffee. Or when you go into Baskin Robbins, or if you're talking about literature, or if you're talking about other disciplines, it is true that that kind of emphasis on the perceiver and it being relative, there is a place for that. But ultimately, in real life, some things just are. It's just the reality. You know, when it comes to the laws of physics and the law of gravity, Okay, that just is. And that's not just a matter of, well, your perception of it is a certain way. No, if you think that somehow the law of gravity, it's just based upon your perception, and that's truth for you, but then other people can have their own truth about gravity and, say, deny it or something. Okay, well, then let those people who want to deny that just go up on top of the 10-story building and just test their worldview and just start walking off the edge. I think the big spot they're going to make on the sidewalk down below is going to prove some things just are objective reality. I have to read you something here. I'm going to read you a paragraph of an article written by Professor Alan D. Sokol. It's entitled Transgressing the Boundaries Toward a Transformative Hermeneutics of Quantum Gravity. I bet when you came to church tonight, you never thought you'd hear any terms like that being used, much less from the pulpit. That's the title of this article. I'm going to read you just the opening portion of this. You won't understand a word of it. And I'm going to explain afterward why, but just listen to this. By the way, this was published in the academic journal Social Text in the spring-summer edition, 1996 edition of that academic journal. This is what he says. Deep conceptual shifts within 20th century science have undermined the Cartesian-Newtonian metaphysics. Revisionist studies in the history and philosophy of science have cast further doubt on its credibility. And most recently, feminist and post-structuralist critiques have demystified the substantive content of mainstream Western scientific practice, revealing the ideology of domination concealed behind the facade of objectivity. It has thus become increasingly apparent that physical reality, no less than social reality, is at bottom a social and linguistic construct. That scientific knowledge, quote, far from being objective, reflects and encodes the dominant ideologies and power relations of the culture that produced it. That the truth claims of science are inherently theory-laden and self-referential, and consequently, that the discourse of the scientific community, for all its undeniable value, cannot assert a privileged epistemological status. What a sentence. Isn't that great? Do you know what he goes on to argue? That ultimately, even the idea of gravity, based upon what we now understand about quantum physics, even the idea of gravity, it's really just relative truth, and it's as much relative as any other kind of postmodern relativistic social construct. Let me tell you why I read you that. Professor Sokol doesn't believe a word of any of this. It was a joke. It was a parody on the foolishness of postmodern extremists. He is a physicist, a reputable physicist. And he wrote this article. You can't really see how many pages it is. My goodness, it's like 40 plus pages. He wrote this using all of the buzzwords of postmodernism, all the terms that they would like. There's no logic in any of this. He wrote this as a joke. Because ultimately what he's trying to do is to jokingly say that because we now live in a postmodern world, we know that things like the laws of science and gravity and all that are absolutely just subjective, not objective realities. That's an absurdity. He knows it is. He wrote it as a joke, and here's the kicker. He sent it in as a test to this academic journal run by postmodernists, Social Text is the name of it, and they accepted it for publication in 1996. Talk about egg on your face. I mean, this is just... But that's the world in which we live. And you might think, well, those people who accepted that article for publication, did they not read it? Did they not understand it? Were they just stupid? Well, yeah, probably a lot of that. But this is the world in which they're a bunch of academic postmodernists, and they think that their worldview fits in everyday life. It doesn't. It doesn't. And so here is a guy as a joke. Wrote an article that ultimately was saying that the idea that if you walked off the edge of the 10-story building, that gravity would cause you to make a big stain on the sidewalk. Well, that's not an objective reality. That's just a subjective possibility. It depends on whether or not you accept the laws of gravity, for the laws of gravity to really have any kind of effect on you. Please. And no, I don't think this is what the Matrix creators were reading when they made their movie or something. But this is the world in which we live, folks. It doesn't work in everyday life. It just doesn't. And I tell you, it doesn't work not just when you're talking about everyday life and the laws of science and physical laws like gravity. There's no postmodernist who really lives his life as if there's no absolute reality. They may say their philosophy they hold to, oh, it wouldn't allow for that. But the practical reality is they live their life as if a lot of things are objectively true. You know, the postmodernists have allowed a lot of people to feel good about breaking away from authoritarian moral standards. But there's not a postmodernist alive who thinks that somebody has a right, a moral right, to break into their home and grab their child from the crib and steal their little baby. All of us as human beings react to that as something which is immoral. And we don't mean by that, well, you know what? The Bible that I hold to says it's immoral, but if you don't follow the Bible, it's not immoral for you. No, that's not how we view that. We believe there are some things like that that are inherently, objectively immoral, like kidnapping a little child from his parents' home. Or going and taking a gun and just killing somebody that you decide to kill. That's wrong. And that's not wrong because, well, your parents brought you up to believe that, but somebody else who was brought up a different way with a different worldview, it wouldn't be wrong for them. They could commit murder and it'd be okay. No. No, there's nobody. I don't care how much they say they're a postmodernist. There's nobody that says that that is just a subjective kind of moral standard. Some things in the moral realm just are. And we live our lives that way. And so what we need to understand is that this kind of worldview that's so dominant in our thinking, it's so dominant in the college courses that so many of you are taking, which is one reason why I present this kind of lesson to you. So you'll be aware of where a lot of your professors are coming from in their own concepts. But we need to understand this in regard to our own individual lives. Okay, that's our world. And that's the state of Florida. And if somehow we could just kind of zoom in on that and just keep zooming in on that Tampa Bay area and just zoom in a little further and zoom in on the Valrico area and zoom in further, and there's that Valrico church building. And if we could zoom in further and just with some kind of x-ray, just look at the top of everybody's heads here from this vantage point, outer space. There you are. And you're part of that world. You're there. And you've got to decide what your view of life is going to be. It is true that we all have to make our own decision. And even about what objective reality is. That's true. And the postmodernists are reminding us of that, and that's good. But the point is, you've got to make a decision. You're part of this world. Who made that? Did that just happen by chance? Or did some being make that world and make all those people who are part of that world and zoom in and even that person, you, who are part of this world, who made you? Did that just happen by chance? Or did somebody make this universe and make you? And I'll tell you what, if it's true that some being made this and made you and everybody else in that picture, then there is objective truth. And it's not subjective. We may have to subjectively perceive it to an extent, yeah. But if there is, I don't care what you want to call him, the Bible calls him God. But if you want to just say being who created this, designer, whatever term you want to use, if this world was made by somebody, and this universe was made by somebody, and it didn't just happen by chance, and it hadn't always just been like this, and it's not just some big accident, if somebody made all of this, then there's objective truth there. And the moral teaching that we have in our minds that seems to us so objective that we don't have a right to kidnap a baby. You don't have a right to go murder somebody. Some things just morally are right or wrong. Well, if there's a God who made this world and is a moral being, well, then that makes morality objective, not subjective. 2,000 years ago, on the other side of this planet, did a man named Jesus of Nazareth rise from the dead 3 days after he was crucified? Is that an historical fact? A lot of evidence to say that it is. But you've got to decide about that. I'll tell you what, though. If Jesus of Nazareth, that man who was talking to Pilate and said to Pilate, "For this I've come into the world to bear witness concerning the truth." If Jesus of Nazareth really rose from the dead, as the evidence indicates, then everything he said is the truth, and it's objectively true. And you know, here's a statement that Jesus made. It's recorded in John 12, verse 48. Here's what Jesus of Nazareth said. "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." Now, you know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if he was a charlatan, well, then his statement there becomes meaningless. You don't have to worry about it. Phew, well, that's good. But if he rose from the dead, then what he says, that's the truth. And it's objective. And even though the postmodernists are right that we all have to read and interpret the Bible, that's true. And we all have our prejudices, and sometimes we have different interpretations. But Jesus said his words, that's what's going to judge us on the last day. That means his meaning, his interpretation. I don't mean he interprets it. He said it according to what he means by it. But the way he means it, that's the correct interpretation. And he obviously felt like the people could hear his words and understand them well enough to follow him. But if Jesus rose from the dead, then there is objective reality. And we need to be following that. And we need to be doing our dead level best to understand what Jesus was saying and follow it. And it's not a matter of, well, this is my truth for me and you have your truth. No, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you and everybody else in that picture, we're all subject to the teaching, the objective teaching of Jesus Christ. You got to decide. Your decision, my decision, one way or the other, isn't going to affect what the reality is. But we do have to decide what we're going to do about it. And I'm going to ask you this evening, if you've not made it a decision about how you're going to live your life, you sure better make it. If all this happened by chance, you don't have to worry about it. But as we said, if there's a being who made all this, you sure better be serving him. If Jesus was a fraud and a charlatan, you have to worry about what he says. But if he rose from the dead, you and everybody else in that photo, you better be following him and trying your best to understand what he wants you to do and look into his word and obey whatever he says to do. Is there someone tonight who wants to do that? We'd love to help you obey Jesus. If we can assist you, won't you come?